Thank you so much. Good morning. Let's just begin with a prayer, shall we? Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that we've all assembled here to your name. Thank you that you are present amongst us, O Lord. Thank you for your love that we are so, so grateful for, O Lord. And we just thank you for this time. And we ask you, God, that as we are going to hear from your word, O Lord, let our hearts be open and receptive to your word and your message, O Lord. Yet let our ears be open so that we hear what you want us to hear. And God, I ask you for favor on me so that when I bring this message, O Lord, let it be something that people actually get, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So we are going to look into two verses from John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 10 and 11. Now, before I started this thing, I wanted to start with something funny, and that's been the case for the last 2 days. And I just shared this with Colin and all yesterday, and for the last 2 days, I have not been able to find anything funny. So I think that the fall that I had broke my funny bone. So at least we know where the funny bone is. It's in your lower back. Okay. But anyways, so the verses that we are going to look at are John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So the message that I have is a very simple message. It's the message of love demonstrated. And what I'm going to talk about is the awe-inspiring, enduring love of God. So let's look at the first verse, which says that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This has been written, of course, by John the Apostle, and it was written so that people would know who this person is, who Jesus Christ is. He himself, John himself, mentions it in John chapter 20, verse 31, that all these things are written so that you may know and believe that Jesus is the Christ and is the Son of God, and that in believing you might have eternal life. If you want to see the verse, you can see John chapter 20, verse 31. All right. So when we look at these two verses where he's talking about he was in the world and the world was created through him and he was here and they did not know him, we are talking about God who created the world. If you look at John 1 verse 3, it already establishes that everything that has been created by God and has been made through this person, this Jesus Christ. Imagine everything includes everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. If you look at Psalms chapter 8, verse 3, it talks about the sky and the world being the works of the fingers of God. It talks about the sun and the moon being placed by God in its place. Imagine, this is the magnitude of God. This is the magnitude of the power of God, that he placed the sun and the moon in its place. To give you a perspective about these things, you know the size of the earth? One sun can have 1.3 million earths in its own. That's the size of the sun. Now that sun is not even the largest star that we can see. Scientists have seen a star through the telescopes, which is Canis Majoris, which is 1,420 times the size of the sun. That's the size of that star. And that has been placed by God. And that's the work of his fingers. Can you imagine the size? Can you imagine the magnitude of this power? And that's the power. That's the God who came here, who came into this world, which he created. Now, if that does not inspire you, I don't know what would, because that is the awesome power that came here, the power that made the heaven and the earth, that power which which placed these things. And it says that it's the work of his fingers. And you imagine, like, how we play carom. We play carom and it's with our fingers. That's the size of God. That's the magnitude of that power. And that power was here. And when he was here, the world did not know him. Now, if you go from that verse to the next verse, which says that he came to his own. Or when he came to his own, this is talking about something that is very personal to him. Now, these were the people, John is writing to the people who were in Jerusalem, who were in Israel. They are the Jewish people, and they were the people who were his own people. It says in Jeremiah 7:23, that obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. God separated those people to be his own people. And he came here to his own people. In fact, Paul also mentions it in Romans chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, that they are the Israelites, there's the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. There's the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Messiah. He was their Messiah, but they did not receive him. They did not receive him. The word receive there in Greek is parelabon, which means a receiving in a very familial way. So a familial way of receiving is you receive with a hug, with a kiss. That's the reception that he expected. But he was not received in that way. Now, this power, this great power, which created the heavens and the stars and the moon and everything that we see, he's here as a man. He lowered himself. That's what the verse says, that he lowered himself. In Philippians 2:7, it says that Jesus lowered himself. And why would he do that? Why would he do that? He lowered himself to take on the form of a servant, of a mere human being. That's the love of God. He has done that because he loves us. That's the love that he had, that he took that form, he took that thing. For the joy that was set before him, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that's the joy that was set before him. And he took that. He took that on himself to become a human, so that he could come here and show you that love. So that's the magnitude of his love. That's the power of his love. Now, he himself says the most common and the most well-used verse is John chapter 3, verse 16, which says that for God so loved the world. So this whole thing that he did, that he came into the place where he was not received, a place where he was not known, for love. That's the awe-inspiring love that he has for us. And that's the enduring love that he has for us. And he endured that. He endured the lowering for us so that we could feel his love. And we could know that that love is what is there for you to put your trust in. So if you are here and you have not yet known his love, or you have not yet put your trust in him, you've not believed that this is God who's come here. God in the form of a man, God made a man, Jesus Christ. And if you can put your trust in him, he promises you eternal life. That's what the word says. That all these things have been written so that you may believe, and in so doing, you might have eternal life. So this is the crux of all that we are talking about, the love of God. Can you feel that love? Can you feel the power and the magnitude of God coming down here as a man to just give you an invitation? Believe in me and you will have eternal life. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and you will have eternal life. So in this moment, if there's anyone who's not believed, this would be a really good time for you to put your belief in him. Believe him, believe what he has done. And the verse which says that these things have been written so that you may believe is also about all of us who've already believed, that we continue to believe in him. We continue to believe that Jesus is the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. And that's the love that we have. As you must have seen Lion King, and in Lion King, Beyoncé has a song which says, "Can you feel the love tonight? Can you feel that love?" That's the love that God has for you. Believe in it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Abhishek. Well done in proclaiming the love of God. Right? And we'll have a response again at the end of the second message. We will give people an opportunity to respond so we can pray for you. And our next preacher this morning is Asha. All right? Asha, would you like to come forward?
Hello, Word of Grace. Good morning. So the title of today's message is The Great Reception and the Response. The Great Reception and the Response. I'm reading from John 1, verse 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The summary of today's message is, the place where Jesus died for me is a place where I live from. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful time. Daddy, use my mouth to speak to your children. Daddy, I pray that you would open our heart to receive your word, illuminate your word, so that we will respond to it and we will bear fruit in right time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to share you with a story of a girl. She's from Kerala, and she's born and brought up in a Marthoma Christian family. So these Marthoma Christians, you know, they believe that they are converted by Thomas the Apostle. There were seven families who was actually converted by Thomas the Apostle, and they are descendants of those seven families, and they believe that they are Khandani Christians, and they are so proud about their ancestry. And so she is born and brought up in this Marthoma family. And this girl was very enthusiastic about the church things, like going to Sunday school, about the youth meeting and everything. So in 2011, she started reading the Bible systematically. And when she reached this verse, she had a personal encounter with Jesus. She accepted Jesus as her Lord, personal Lord and Savior. And to cut the long story short, she got baptized in 2016 on her birthday. And in 2017, she got spirit baptism. And you know what that girl is doing now? She's the same girl who is preaching to you. So Abhishek told us about the people who rejected Jesus. Now, verse 13 talks about who received Jesus. So we all know that we are creation of God. We are his handwork. So, but are we children of God? Or how can we become children of God? So my first point is, believe and receive is a key to eternal life. Believe and receive is a key to eternal life. So, to become a child of God, do we need Christian parents? Or do we need to sacrifice things and to do stuff to please God? No, the Bible says we need to do two things. We need to believe and receive. Believe what? Believe with all our mind. We have to take a conscious decision to follow Jesus. Believe with all our mind that he died for our sins, and we have to receive him. Receive him as our Lord and Savior. Receiving Jesus means taking Jesus into your life for what he is. It is not natural, actually. It is something supernatural, because it is God who is giving you the right or authority or power to become the children of God. God the Father is giving the natural you the right to become a child of God through the Word, that is Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, we are adopted as his sons and daughters. So, and the Bible says it is a free gift, and the gift is called grace. We are born of God by the free act of sovereign grace. So, if I have to buy a gift for Joe or for Lassia, the gift is free for them, right? But I have to pay some price for that, right? Like the same way, for making us children of God, God has to pay a price. You know, we were all like orphans, and we were living in this fallen world in an orphanage run by the devil. But God so loved me and you and you and you, he sacrificed his own son in place of me and you, so that we can also become his sons and daughters, his treasured possession. Becoming a child of God, the child of God, that word, Bible uses it, Bible says it as in different forms, like born again, as mentioned in John 3:3, and household of God, heirs of God, as mentioned in Ephesians 2, royal priesthood, and God's special possession, as mentioned in 1 Peter 2:9. And going to verse 13, it says that becoming a child of God is not natural. It is a new beginning. It is a new birth by renewing your mind and washing your heart with the Word of God. You can't inherit it. Your background, your ancestry has nothing to do with it, because it is God who is doing the work through the Holy Spirit. And that is, to become a child of God, we are depending totally on God. We can't, but he can. Maybe you're coming here for the first time and you are hearing about Jesus for the first time. Do you want to become a child of God? Today is the day. Say yes to Jesus. Are you tired? Are you weary? Have you come to the end of yourself? Jesus is calling you. Because only Jesus can turn your worries into worship, your mess into message, your trials into triumph. He wants you to become his own possession, because he loves you. Today, if you are accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is promising you eternal life. And if you die today, you will be turning to next page, that is life never ending with Jesus. He is a promise keeper. The question is, will you be his child today? Make a choice. So, when we are becoming a child of God, God has given us the authority and power to become the children of God. So that brings me to my second point, which is, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. So we now we know that we are children of God. That is our identity now. So when you are becoming a child of God, your DNA is changed. DNA is not ribonucleic acid. It is, but DNA is your divine nature activated, as Navas says. You know, DNA has a property. The basic character of DNA is to replicate without losing its essence. Its ability is to replicate. So we have his DNA. We are his image bearers. So if I am planting a banana tree, suppose after 1 year or 2 years, I will be expecting bananas to come out of that, right? Not coconut or mangoes. I want bananas because, like the same way, we are children of God and we are his DNA. We have his DNA. So God is expecting us to live our life like our elder brother, who is Jesus, who lived a perfect life and who has showed us the standard of heaven. Just take a moment and think about Jesus. He is love. He is kind. He is peace. He is patient. He is peace. These are not his attitudes. These are his attributes. That means the very own nature of him. You can't separate Jesus from his nature. So what is our responsibility? We have to replicate our divine nature and we need to behave like Jesus. If your friend has an iPhone, suppose like 9 or 10, whatever the version, and if he is using it only for calling somebody, what you will say to him? You are using your iPhone far below its potential, right? Like the same way when we are become children of God, God the Father is with us, God the Son is with us, the Holy Spirit is with us. That means the whole heaven is with us. We have the power to think like Jesus, to behave like this is Jesus. If we are not doing that, we are also utilizing this device far below its potential. Jesus said in Luke 6:27 and 28, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. We are his image bearers and his DNA carriers. You know, I work with viruses. I am a virologist. So I work with virus-like particles. So they are not virus. They are look-alikes of viruses. So they, if you see that, they look exactly like the viruses. Like the same way, we are children of God. Whoever sees us should see Jesus through us. And we are called to be salt and light of the world. And we are called to make disciples of all the nations. Have you ever thought about God's calling on your life? What has he called you to do? I know that as believers, we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Still, we have some weaknesses. Still, we have some issues we are struggling with. The Bible says it as, it can be like lust of the eyes or lust of the flesh or pride of the life. Whatever it be that hindering us from becoming like Jesus, let us give it to the Holy Spirit and surrender our life to Jesus again. And let us allow him to mold us and make us what he wants us to be. Yes, we are the children of God. And we are the treasured possession of God. So like our Word of Grace tagline says, let's enjoy God, let's make friends, and let's change lives. Since we are surrounded by such great crowd of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and sins that easily entangles, and let's run our race with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let the place where Jesus died for us, let that be the place where we live from. I want to conclude this with a Moravian saying, which says, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering by the way I live. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering by the way I live. Amen.